You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very good welcome to the Irish Racing Podcast here at William Hill. It's Wednesday, September the 5th. Andy Holding, as usual, looking at 8 races for you tonight at Garran Park, due to be run on good to firm in places ground. We begin at 4.05 with a 2-year-old contest over 7 furlongs, and we end the night with a 1-mile 6 maiden. So quite a contrast, and there's some plenty of well-contested and big field handicaps in between to get our teeth stuck into. But we'll begin with that 4.05 over 7 furlongs, as I said, and this should provide a good opportunity, one day would say, for South Pacific to get off the mark at the third time of asking. He's run perfectly respectably on his first two starts, most notably last time out in a hot race over today's course and distance, won by Gerlines' Gigawhite, who was very much a worthy winner on the evening. South Pacific certainly had every chance. He made the running that day, but he just couldn't cope with the kick of the winner. But the pull was clear of the rest, and the highlight of that race was the performance of a horse called Trithias, who was a massive eye-catcher in that race for Jessica Harrington, and she's gone on to vindicate the impression she created with a good win at the Curragh next time out, flooring a hot pot of Aidan O'Brien's in the process called Pink Dogwood. So the collateral form of that Garran Park race looks really good in the context of tonight's heat. And even though there's potentially one or two improvers lurking in the midst, I'd certainly expect South Pacific to finally justify his healthy price tag. On to the 4.40, quite a competitive 7 furlong handicap here. And the one that I quite like is Waiting for the Day, the top weight here for the Joseph O'Brien stable. He's been a money spinner for Connections throughout the season. She's racked up a quick nap hand of victories, including a good win two starts ago at Leopardstown when she won with quite a bit to spare. She couldn't quite duplicate that performance last time out, but the horse that beat to Check Your Pockets is quite a useful filly in her own right, and she's now 2-for-2 at Garran, so I don't think there's anything wrong with that performance. And given that this filly was rather hung out to dry through the majority of that race, being stuck out in the wing, I thought this filly bay Alzam ran another encouraging race. The dangers, well, there looks to be a couple on paper, most notably from Namazi. If he can translate that performance at Dundalk the other day in the first time blinkers back onto the turf, his overall profile suggests that might be a little bit of a struggle, and he may just be one worth bearing in mind when he goes back to Dundalk in the foreseeable future. But his time figure was very good the last day. The other one to mention, of course, is Joseph O'Brien's stabber companion, National Glory, who's been knocking at the door virtually all season and finally got his head in front at Nace a couple of starts ago. It'd just be whether the 7 furlong trip is what he actually requires up against his stable companion here tonight, who is the selection there in the 4.40. On to the 5.10 then, Mark Lamer, and I'm quite surprised in many respects to see in a Marore into this kind of grade. Well, not necessarily grade, but the fact that they could actually lose this 3-year-old filly, who, to my eyes anyway, seems to be a huge improver. 3 wins in her last 4 starts. The only blob on her dance card came with a slightly below par run at Dundalk 2 starts ago, but that was over 7 furlongs, back up to a mile. She's been impressive at Leopardstown on her last 2 runs respectively, and both times the form has been Frank Raphael, who was second to her Leopardstown 1 last night at Nace. And the biggest endorsement really was that perfect Tappetino, who caught the eye that day at Leopardstown last time out, winning at the Curragh and beating a 20 odd strong field. So I can't quite get my head around why she, A, is in this level, and B, she's 3-1. I'd make her a little bit shorter than this. She ran perfectly respectably behind Rock Fish early on in the season here, but that was over mile 1 and half a furlong. So everything looks set fair tonight, drawn well, ground okay. Can't really find anything wrong with Inna Marori's chance, so let's go with her again, and hopefully she can win again. On to the 5.40 then, the Division 1 of the Apprentice Handicap, and I'm concentrating on the jockeys here. Obviously you've got to have the horse underneath you as well, but I do like Sean Davis. I've been banging on about this fella for quite a while now. He's a very useful lad, and he rides Richard O'Brien's filly here, Indian Eye, who's very much an interesting runner four new connections. Only had the two starts with Richard, but promising both starts, including last time out at Limerick in a claimer won by Kay Stated. They went a good gallop that day, and this horse was last turning into the home straight. But I thought she kept on quite nice to finish in never near a six. Certainly not unduly punished by Ronan Weenan. And tonight, Sean takes over here, and like I say, in this apprentice handicap. Top price this morning ran about 10 to 1 with William Hill. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a little bit of money for this horse now stepping up in trip. So Indian Eye, a little bit of a sneaky one there from a good trainer combination in that 540. On to the 610 then, and look no further here than Perfect Tappatino, who comes here via a win the other day at the Curragh. Certainly deserved one as well. He went into everyone's notebook, including mine, two starts back, went third at Leopardstown in the race won by Inam Aurora. He should have won that day, and he certainly justified the strong and heavy support for him over the weekend at the Curragh when he was back from 5-2 into 7-4. That was over a mile and a quarter, but he's perfectly fine over a mile, as we saw two starts ago. And of course, he's got the services of Shane Cross, who has certainly been catching the eye for his rides with his retained trainer, Joseph O'Brien. So Perfect Tappatino should justify favouritism there and continue on his upward climb. On to the 640 then, and all eyes will no doubt here be on Prepare for Battle, who got beat the other day down in the Curragh, but certainly ran with a good deal of credit behind Lucietta in quite a decent maiden. The one I quite, well, say quite like here, but I'm going to pinpoint you into the direction of a horse certainly worth keeping on the right side of, and could be good enough to, let's say, finish in the frame if connections decide to run her on her merits, and that's a filly called Longwood, or a mare called Longwood. She's only had the two starts, and both times this horse has caught my attention. First time at Dundalk, when staying on from a long way back after a long start over a mile, a slow start over a mile. Then they dropped her back in trip the other day, and it clearly didn't play into her strengths. She was a long, long way back from her draw of 25 of 26, but she finished off her race really, really eye-catchingly, and the further she was going, the better she was getting. She'll definitely get this trip tonight over a mile, 1.5. It's just lurking at the back of my mind. It's her third run for a handicap, and knowing these connections and the fact she's run at Dundalk on a first start, I think an all-weather campaign is very much likely for this mare. Whether they're wanting to go there off the back of a win or just fiddle away with a runner down the field tonight and crack her on in a decent little handicap at Dundalk. But she's definitely the one worth keeping an eye on in this race. I think Prepare to Battle might be the one for tonight, but that Longwood is definitely a horse to put in your trackers. On to the 7.10 then, and quite a decent little race here. Three that only count. Aztec Eagle, who won early on in the season at the Cork, hasn't been seen since, so a little bit of a question mark over him. So I'm going to concentrate on the two horses that I think might just be a little bit more switched on, if you like, because they've run recently. First of all, Lethal Power, who's my selection. I think one or two of these might struggle to give the weight away to this horse, who ran a blinder in his first big, real acid test last time out in the Irish Cambridgeshire. They ran a really good gallop, as is always the case in a race of that nature. 21 runners went to post. And although he finished out the frame, he was only on the coattails of the leaders, and given that he was sort of not drawn the best over on the far side rather than down the middle where most of the action took place, I actually thought this horse ran a good deal better than his finishing position suggested. He's back in a smaller field where they won't go so quick and they won't get so stretched. And he certainly looked good over a mile and a quarter early on in the season when he won at Roscommon. So stepping up to a mile one just might help him as well. I thought, he was flat to the boards the other day over that strongly run mile. And albeit he ran well, he just couldn't have a gear change late on. Whereas tonight, I think he should be fine. The danger, I think, on paper could be this Robeard, who runs his track particularly well. He's shipped up here five times. He's only been out of frame once. And he's done really well since he's joined Henry de Bromhead stable, including a victory here over the course and distance two starts ago, which has been frank by the third Hamley, who bolted up the other night down in Roscommon. So those are the two I'd really get keen on here, Lethal Power and Robeard, with the favour going in the direction of the former. On to the final then, final race then. One of my best bets on the card runs here in the shape of David's Charm. This horse is yet to win on the flat in three starts, but he's basically a hurdler, and those two runs last time at Leopardstown and Ballinrobe were used as a stepping stone to the Galway Hurdle, in which he went off second favoured 11-2. Unfortunately, he got an absolutely tragic start in the hand of Rachel Blackmore. And everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong from that point onwards. He got forced out wide as Rachel was panicking and trying to make ground up on the outside, trying to give the horse a bit of light. He covered as much ground as any horse in the race. He burnt up a hell of a lot of petrol. Yet he still managed to run creditably and finish in never near a ninth, beating 13 lengths in what, of course, was a very competitive race. His previous run on the flat was a good one as well at Leopardstown behind Slippery Serpent and Tornado Watch. And a repeat of that run, now that he's now fully fit and ready to go, could well be good enough to floor and lower the colours of Days Without End, who up to now has been slightly disappointing, albeit his last run at the Galway Festival was a good one beyond Rivetta. You've also got to keep an eye on a horse called Bakshish, who won quite well down in Tramore the other day in a competitive bumper. But David Charm's definitely the class act of this lot, and I expect him to justify heavy market support there in the final race. OK, thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can join me again tomorrow, when I'll be taking a look at the sixth race programme at Leytown, of course, on the beach, beginning at 3:45. So always look forward to Leytown. It's always a bit of crack. And hopefully we can find a few winners for you there tomorrow. Until then, it's goodbye from me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.